This is the beginning of the new Rio, Channel 2 Right, and the beginning of the visit with Shirley this Friday morning, the 16th of April, 1971. Channel 2 Right, and the beginning of the visit with Shirley this Friday morning, the 16th of April, 1971. Channel 2 Right, Channel 2 Right.
Oh, damn, you deserve it.
That bull was a surprise to me. Oh, he's beautiful.
Well, I never saw one on this place as beautiful as that one.
Now, when we went over there to Santa Fe, he showed us this one that we have there and another one. Very, very skittish. You couldn't even get up close to the one we got there.
Sit down in there, right? Right, right, right.
You know, this is the only time I get to rest is when I come over here. I feel right at home and real easy because it's the only time I get to sit down. And I kept Faye waiting over there this morning. I had a few more things to do. I was late getting down to the barn. Even after I called you, I had two phone calls before I could get out the door. So, after you called this morning. So I was late getting down to the barn and late getting finished.
Yeah,
I thought I'd be all through. You know, you said something about getting the car started and coming over. And I thought, well, I'm going to get right down and get all through, and I'll be through by the time you come. I'll be darned. I got tied up, and I never did get through. That's what I have to say with.
Well, I've been trotting since I rolled out this morning. Ain't got nothing to show for it.
But I don't know. It makes you feel better to get up and do something if it's to do it wrong.
Oh, yes.
A lot of times I think, well, boy, today's Friday, the last day I'll have to rest. I'm going to stay in this bed all day long. You know, I'm up on my feet and out of that bed. I can't. I get thinking about what has to be done, what should be done. And, well, this has got to be done first, and then up I come, and I just try to. Oh, thank you, ma'am.
Sure.
I just can't lay there and rest and think of everything that has to be done.
Well, never tell you. This dry weather slows you up, too.
It is. It's awful dry. We need rain the worst way.
Well, all that rain we got. And then the wind blew so much.
Well, that's been a week ago Sunday.
Yeah.
That's been almost 2 weeks now since we had that 4 inches of rain.
Yeah.
And everything is powder dry.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'd be doing right now is home watering everything. If I was home. Because everything is just... I planted some... Daddy had some cedar trees in his front yard where he lived in Bethel. And they're a blue cedar. They're big, beautiful trees. So I took some seeds off of that tree here about a year and a half ago. And I put them in some little cans, you know. And they were up about this high. No, I guess they were about that high when he passed away. And I just took them the other day and transplanted them out along that fence line there. And those things, I bet you, are that high already.
Gee whiz.
They're a good size. Now, I don't think any of them's going to die. I think they're all there.
Well, now, you're not going to put them out there where they'll obstruct your view.
I'm afraid I did.
Well, you better put them on another side.
I better move them.
Because that's just too beautiful a seed.
I don't know. I think I'm going to use them for a hedge, you know, along the inside of the fence line there.
Yeah. Well,
you
even
won't see the fence in the yard.
I don't know.
But
if I had the nerve, I'd just cut out everything on that side and down here too. I had the nerve.
Well, I left a good bit of territory. You know, from that water trough, there's one little tree this side of the water trough, and then there isn't any more until after you get on the other side of the house to obstruct the view from the pasture and the road when you're coming up. But no, I couldn't block the view from the window, you know, from the house.
Now, you can put something up there at the house, sort of a roof tree, that you can see under. But even that, I don't think I'd want to do that.
Well, I got that one cedar tree on this side of the house. Then I've got a blue spruce on the other side that's about 5 foot tall, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got those two little juniper spruces there in the front yard. So I think I'll have enough trees right around there. And my eucalyptus got froze back. I hate that. I think I'm going to make a, what do you call them? say? Bonifay? Bonnie? B-O-N-I-A. How would you pronounce it? French.
No, I don't know.
Got me. It's something the Chinese and the Japanese, and they dwarf back their trees, and they make them grow from rock pieces and different. They have a big slab, maybe cut out from the center of a tree, and then they grow them out on through this. They're really pretty, and I think maybe that's what I'm going to do with that eucalyptus tree.
Because
it's got to be cut back anyhow, so I think I'm going to dwarf it and use it as a sort of landscape piece. Make it look intentional, even though I didn't want it that way.
You want a great big tree. Yeah.
Especially right there where it's at. It's right outside Bonnie's bedroom window, and that afternoon sun comes right in her window there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted that to shade.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's an idea.
Something
to cut the sun right
that evening sun is
evening
right in
sun.
Their bedrooms,
yeah.
And then when they go to bed at
but
night,
now,
it's
hot. But now, don't forget, the sun that's hot is not due west, you know. It's up in the north.
That's right, that's right.
I miss out that every time when I start planting.
That's where I've got the blue spruce, but it grows so slow. That's another mistake I made. I should have put a faster growing tree there.
I get some of these... I never can call a name. These heads.
Junipers?
No.
Pretty.
Legustrum.
Legustrum.
Oh.
That makes
that's
that.
That's right at the back, yeah.
That goes a mile a minute.
I know it. I had that all around that house down there where we lived around, and I did all the pruning.
Yeah.
And those things grow, and they were in damp ground anyway. Around there it wasn't as high and dry as it is here. It was a little more moist. We had St. Augustine grass in the yard there. It was just like a carpet grass. But those things grew. I swear every morning I'd look out there and they'd grow 3 or 4 feet. And I'd be cut back. Oh, they. But I sold a lot of them. I'd cut them off, you know, and re-root them and then stick them out there by the service station. I sold a lot of them.
Oh, you did? Well, Johnny, you never saw anything as busy as she was when I got over there.
Well,
and I wish you could have seen her move her cows. It'd make you ashamed of yourself.
Well, I hadn't seen that, Shirley.
Well, I try to get down to the barn as early as I can and get out of there.
How did your calves know to stand back?
They know better. And if they start coming toward the gate, all I got to do is snap my finger like that, and they'll step back a couple of feet. They won't even come near the gate. And the cows, there's a certain number that I have go through first.
Yeah.
And the others stand back a little bit. When they go through, then they come back almost, about two at a time.
Yeah.
Come through the gate.
No.
The calves don't dare follow it out.
The calves went over in a corner and stood.
Well, now, what is that for, Shirley? What are you bringing them?
Well, you see, the calves, we had to get them up to work on their pink eye. So we put them in the lot right there in front of the barn.
Yeah.
And they've been in there now over a week because we've been doctoring them something like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And while they've been in there, I've been giving this sweet feed. And now I let the calves in to suck, let the baby suck there in the morning. And then I turn them out. And then in the afternoon, they come up again, and I let them turn them in again. In the afternoon, they suck, and then I turn them back out again. But see, when all the cows come up there, I give them each a bucket of feed, or a half a bucket of feed in the morning, and then a half at night. So it gives them a bucket of feed every day.
Yeah.
So I feed the cows first. That gets them coming up there every day.
Yeah.
And then they want their babies, too, so they're always right there. And then after they eat, then I turn them in with the cows, let the calves suck, then turn the cows back out, and then feed the babies.
Yeah.
After they get through sucking. So they're getting all they can hold.
Yeah.
And then 2-3 days this week, I've turned them over in that ryegrass, just the calves.
Ooh.
And you open that gate, and you just get behind them and go, shoo, and they're gone, and they're kicking up their heels, their tails just going in the wind, and they get right over there in that ryegrass and eat their bellies full.
I'm telling you, that's a sight.
Yeah, and then they go over and lay down in the shade. They're there all day, and then about 4 o'clock, they come up for a water. Then they come over and stand by the gate till I open it, and then they run right back in again. So there's no problem with handling them. They work pretty good.
As long as...
Burma's not there.
She's figured out why they're nervous.
I think that's what's keeping them so nervous like they are. And they won't even stand there. They won't even eat feed. They stand there and watch him. They stop eating their feed long enough to watch him, see where he's going. If he gets 20, 30 feet away, they'll eat. But if he's standing right next to that fence, they won't eat a bite. And I can walk all among them.
I never saw anyone.
And they won't move. And they won't move. Not even those with the calves. I was walking among them there. They won't move hardly. But Berman goes in there, and they're all over. The dust is flying, and they're going this way, and the calves are trying to catch up, and they're jumping over the babies trying to. Oh, it's a mess. And he makes me nervous. Never mind the cows. When he was working with them, I wish he wasn't that way.
Well, not.
And he got so mad the other night. He got in the truck and he took off after I came to the house, you know. And there's two of them hadn't had supper. He was missing. They'd been somewhere and they came home, so I fixed them their supper to the kids. And Berman had his bath and he went on to bed and he wasn't going to eat supper. So I fixed it anyway, and I left it there on the table. I said, if you don't eat it tonight, I'll warm it over for tomorrow night. And he doesn't like warmed over. So I left it on the table. I said, if you don't eat it now, it's going to get cold. So I went on and took my shower. And while I was taking my shower, he went and ate. A few minutes later, I came into the kitchen to straighten up in there, and he got in the truck and took off. He was gone about 2-3 hours. I don't know where he went to.
That was after you.
After we'd had a little argument down at the barn, you know, after I was trying to tell him how to handle the cows, me and my big mouth. But he upsets them, so it takes me 2 or 3 days to get them back and calm down enough to work among them. And that's dangerous.
I want you to show Guy that fence, that thing that bull jumped over. I can't believe it.
You know that pin there, the small pin that Berman just made here not long ago, and he used that wovenized timber, the 2x8s, wasn't it, Faye?
That's what you said.
That's what I think it's one in my hand, so I know it's a 2x8. In several places there, the top, there's three boards around the top. Now let's see, there's two boards that he knocked off the front, and then one on this side, and the back part of the fence, he broke that one. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4 boards he broke. So Vernon took them off. He's gone to town today. He was going to work up till noon, then he's going to pick up that material. He probably put down there earlier and pick up the material. He's going to get some long poles, you know, and go right on up with the thing, so high that it would be impossible unless he had wings to get over. It's the only way we're going to hold him. I don't like that bull because of that reason. He'd make a beautiful bull with all the feed that we're giving him. In another 6 months or a year, he'd be a beautiful bull.
Yeah.
But I don't want him if he's going to be that nervous. I don't want a nervous bull.
I don't see how he jumped that
fence.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't trying to be mean. He just don't want to be cornered. He has claustrophobia. He doesn't want to be closed in. So nervous, he's afraid. He doesn't want to hurt anybody, but he's afraid that somebody's going to hurt him. And he'll rush right up. That's the part I don't like. I don't think he would go right over the top of me, but I can't be sure, and I can't trust him. I don't want to try it.
No.
But he comes right up to you just like he's going to run you right down in the ground, and he'll stop dead short, and his feet are even buried way down into the ground, his hooves, when he comes to a stop. He's that fast of a stop. He comes right... just charges at you, and he comes to a dead stop, and his back legs are right up against the front hooves. He stops so short. And he does that for his feed. If you have a bucket of feed and he sees it, he comes at you for that bucket of feed, and you can just drop it, and he's there on that bucket before you can get 2 feet away.
I never saw that.
Oh, you ought to see him. And he gets so nervous, he just shakes all over, you know, and the ground just literally trembles underneath his feet. You can feel the ground trembling.
I never saw that.
I saw it this morning.
You saw it?
No,
but he didn't act like he. I mean, you know, I was on one side of the fence when I fed him. The way I got him through that barn. See, he was over in the other field, and I put him out there with the cows. You can walk among them. You can do any. You know, he won't try to harm you. But if you've got a bucket for feed. You don't want to be caught in the same pasture with them. But I put the feed inside the barn, opened the gate, put the feed inside the barn. Then I went out this gate. He went in that way to get the feed. I went around the barn, shut this gate on him, and I made sure I had that other gate over here open so that he could go right on through the barn. Because I don't want to be in the same location with him.
What'd you have in the corrals for?
To treat him for pink eye. He's got pink eye on one side.
Oh,
one
he's
eye.
Got pink eye.
Yes, he got this about 3 days ago, and I told Berman he was coming down with it. So he went down there and made the pen sturdier than what it was. And he broke everything in it. We put him in there with a little bit of feed. He walked in there to get the feed, and we shut the gate on him. And he just, you know how excited they, nervous they get, and they go from one end and try to root under. He just tried to root his way
out.
Oh,
that gives me the creeps when they start doing that.
And you could, I was standing about as far from here to that back door, away from the bull, and on the other side of the pen. And I could feel the ground trembling underneath my feet.
Oh.
And the wires, we had electric wires going to the barn, and he was hitting the pen, and that post is a ways from the pen, and those wires are just going back and forth, getting ready to snap, you know, and because of him trembling, so he just had the pen trembling, the ground trembling, everything. Oh,
just as soon as you close that gate.
Just as soon as that gate was shut, but you leave the gate around, you can walk in there while he's eating that feed, but you
just
better not try to take the
gate.
Bucket or close the gate.
Why, when I saw that boy last fall, last summer, he was, he looked like he was the gentlest thing you ever saw.
Well, that's what I know.
Beautiful.
Well, Berman had been feeding him, see, because a new bull I don't like to mess with, especially as young as he was. And Mr. Sneed had warned us that he was nervous, you know, but a little feed through the winter months, too, if we pinned him. But we didn't pin him, because we had to have him.
Yeah.
We pinned him for a while in the last... 2-3 months, I guess. He's been in and out. But we get him used to that pen. And Berman always feeds him right there at the barn. But he milks the cow, and he puts the bucket right down where he can eat it. And he'll let the milk cow root him out of his feed. So Berman has to feed him while he's milking the cow.
Yeah.
And he'd keep one eye on Berman and one eye on his feed alert, you know, enough to jump back if anything should happen.
Oh,
but he just a loose little movement. And he didn't tell me about this bull. Until one day I went down there to milk the cow for him. He's coming in late. I went down to milk the cow. I didn't know he fed the bull at the same time he was milking the cow. And normally I wait till I'm through and then feed them, you know. But I didn't know this is the way he worked it. So each person does something a little bit different. If he had told me, I'd have fed the bull. But I went down there and I milked the cow, and I just sat on that stool, and here come that bull around that corner. I had milked, I guess, about a quart of milk, and here come that bull around that corner for his feed, and he saw me sitting there, no feed, and I thought he was going to go clean over the top of me because he thought the milk bucket that I was milking in was his feed. And Lordy, does that scare me. And the gate was shut behind me, so there I was sitting in the corner right there where
well,
I was milking the cow, and you
like
can't move.
I don't know how they move so fast.
So if he wanted to hurt me, he would have had me right then and there. I'd never been able. I would have never seen daylight. But he stopped short, just quick like that. And short of a heart attack, I thought I was through. But he didn't try to harm me in any way. I got up from there, and he stood there watching me with his nose down, like he was going to. Charge at me, so I got up from there and went and got his feed, and I put it on the other side of the barn. So he'd look at the feed, and he'd walk around and look to see what I was doing, look back at the feed again, and he was just too curious to eat, you know, and he was fed in a different place. So I had my suspicions that he was very, very nervous. And the more I see him, the more I work among him, I can see that he's not going to tame down. You can tell that. And I don't want a chance to either him or I getting hurt.
I want something between us, between me and them. Charlie, now what is it you're going to do this afternoon? Berman's going to rebuild that pen.
He's bringing home some materials, and he's going to build a pen this afternoon. He's to call Mr. Pee Wee Gillen at 3:30 at the Sheriff's Department and ask him if he is going to come out this evening. And he's supposed to meet us at the house, I think, at 5:30.
Yeah.
And then we leave at the house and go on over to Citra,
yeah,
where that heifer is, and he's going to shoot her with this tranquilizer gun.
Pee Wee Gillen, he's an old cattleman anyhow, isn't he?
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
Now, he's had cataracts on his eyes, and he hasn't been as active as he once was.
Oh, really?
And so I don't know now whether he was going to have an operation after we last seen him, so I don't know whether he's overcome that or not.
He'll have on them thick lenses.
Yeah. I hope he can judge the weight of that cow again.
What'd you tell me about that? About the weight?
They can't miss the weight. If they can't get any more than 50 pounds under her weight, it won't do any good. If they can't get any more than 50 pounds over the weight, it'll kill the cow. And I'm sitting on pins and needles.
Yeah.
I'd rather have that cow over there than five of those that we've got at the house.
Yeah.
And she's not registered. She's just a beautiful animal.
Shelley, I've known that. I've felt that same way a long time. I got these animals, and what I need is some. Can you reach it?
Mm-hmm.
What I need is some good crossbreeds. You know, that have good calves. And I don't know. Every time I have a chance, like getting a new bull or something like that, I get pushed, and I can't get out of my, you know, it takes a good deal of effort to get out of your beaten path.
Yeah.
So I just do it the same way I've been doing it, and that's shameful.
Well, I think you're doing a wonderful job down there from the looks of those animals there. I can't see anything wrong with any of them,
well,
really.
Well, now you take that heifer of yours over there at that place, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see?
But if I get that heifer home, I'll give you 3 months to the day that she arrives on that place, and I'll bet you can go in there and pet her, and you'd have to knock her in the head to get her out of your way.
Oh, it wouldn't be 3 weeks.
I think it will, because I'm going to take it slow and easy with her, because she is so, so nervous. Now, I don't mind working with that cow and making her gentle, but I'm sure not working with that bull. And they're about the same age.
Yeah.
I'm not going to work with him. I'm just...
Well, now, how...
I have an ill feeling.
Have you got a way to load her?
Well, this is... I don't know. I'm leaving this up to Berman. I don't know how he's going to get her in the truck, because they go down, and they're out.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to get that 750-pound cow, that's what he said she weighs, up into the... back into the, she's just a half or just a young cow.
That's dead weight.
Yeah, so he's going to have to get her up into the back of that truck. And he said he's going to put her in there without the cattle rack over my dead body. Because if she comes to or tries to get up on the way home, even with her legs tied, I think she could do it.
Oh, yeah.
She'd wiggle her way over the side of that truck, and that'd be the end of it. She'd splatter all over the road.
Why, you could handle a calf like that.
But how is he going to get her into that truck with the cattle rack on there? We've got a chain hoist, but the thing is so heavy, by the time he got the cow, it would break the rack on the truck. We need a low trailer.
Yeah.
And something well built with sides on it. But now I don't know where in the world I'd get anything.
You need a low trailer. Let me tell you one of the handiest things, and I guess to save me can't get one. Whenever I have a chance, I haven't got the money, it costs $34. Those little come along things like you can stretch a fence with. You know, they're a hoist.
Oh, yes.
Just little things like that. Why, they'll pull anything. You can load dead weight with them. You can load a tractor with them. You can, if you had, And all you got to do is put a rope around her and pull
strap
her, in.
Her down on it. Strap her down somehow.
It'll,
tie her legs and her.
Yeah, that'll strap her down. Yeah.
Strap her all the way around.
Yeah.
Well, that is. I hadn't thought about that. How you get
her? Yeah. Who's got a low boys? I think you call them, isn't it?
That's what you need. A low trailer.
Oh boy, trailer. A U-Haul trailer.
Well, they're not
not low enough.
You see,
they're quite high off the ground too, aren't they?
No, they're right on the ground. But they got no sides. You know, just an ordinary horse trailer would do it, cause they're low.
That's
your horse steps up in them.
We'd have to get her on her feet, though, wouldn't we?
Not
well,
this.
We could catch her coming out of it and just get her dazed. When they come out of it, they charge.
Yeah, no. Just put a little scaffold going up there and pull her up there.
You mean a double horse? They're quite narrow, aren't they?
Well, you can take a petition out. Or get a single one. They're not so narrow. Oh, there's dozens of those things. Everybody's got one. But me, I haven't got anything.
Oh, we don't have anything like that one.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yes, sir. And you could sink the wheels. You wouldn't even have to do anything but roll her over.
That's right.
Yes. And also tilt the front end, and it'd be practically on the ground.
Who would have there's several horses over there around Citra, but I don't know whether they have horse trailers or not. Those people right next door to where the heifer is had something in there one time when I went through there, but I haven't seen it since. Something like a horse trailer. I hadn't paid any attention to it because I hadn't thought of that. I'll bet you, if I can get in touch with her, Mrs. Richards lives about 2 miles down the road on the right-hand side of the road from where the heifer is. And they have a pile of horses. I bet they have some way, because she takes these horses to shows.
Oh, yes.
They must have one. And I know she'd let him borrow it.
That'd be all that close by.
Uh-huh. Or rent it or something just to get him.
Because they're low, you know.
She'd bring it over there and help you load the cattle.
She's one that the lady we sell hay to every year. We sold her our hay this year and didn't have any for our own.
Yeah.
Didn't have enough of our own.
Well, Cheryl, that's what happened to you this morning. You just ran out of hay.
Well, we bought a lot, too.
Yes.
After we ran out, we bought a lot. And we've been sort of playing it, you know, getting very close. We'd run out, and then we'd run and get some more and come back and feed them and that much, and then playing it from 1 month to the next, and it kept getting worse and worse, and
yeah.
Every month we'd have to go back for more hay.
It
has. It was an early frost and a late frost, and here I'm not sure it's over yet.
But I'll tell you one thing. If it hadn't been for this long, cold spring, you wouldn't have the rye now.
That's true.
It's hell that.
That's true. And those heifers look good. Did you notice them
mm-hmm.
out there?
Yeah.
They look a lot better than they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the rye that's held them.
Well, now, Berman doesn't, he don't hit them or anything like that.
No, but he's, I don't know. He makes me nervous when he's working with them. And I can imagine what the animal feels like. Those animals, I think, know how you feel. And they know where I'm going to put my foot before I do, I think.
Yeah.
Because I walk among them so much. And I can tell from which way they put their head, whether they're going to go to the right or the left. And I try to either step to the right if I think they're going to the right and I want them to go to the left. And they seem to know. They sense the fact that I know, they know where to, that I want them to, where I want them to go. They know before I try to push them. But he gets behind them, and you're going, you know. And the next thing you know, the calf's on the run, and he's going this way. And Berman starts back again, runs around the calf, tries to get it back up there in the pen again, and he just can't do anything but running them to death.
What happened?
Force.
With your bull, when he broke out, how did he break all three sides?
Well, that wasn't Berman's fault. That was the bull.
Yeah.
Because we never...
He kept jumping until he got out.
He wasn't trying to hurt anybody or hurt anything. He was just nervous because he thought somebody was going to hurt him.
And
Yes, he'd jump it. He'd get right up on it and he'd break it with his chest part. But then he'd fall back in again and he'd try again, you see. And each time he tried in a different place and he broke those boards.
Oh.
And then finally he just stood still and he looked up and he saw the board was off that he had broken and fell. And he just went right over it. And after he got out, after he got out, he looked around a little bit and just walked around just as calm. He was happy because he wasn't closed in.
There's no place to go.
We opened the pasture, and he found a little patch of grass. He went over and he started eating it right next to the gate.
The guy that where he jumped was so high.
Even after the board was off.
Sure.
So this is what he's going to build again now.
Let me tell you, Shirley. Right out there. See that feeding station? We've got a visitor at night. He comes early. He don't wait for us to get out or go to bed or clear out.
Oh?
I keep tala out there, you see, for the birds.
Uh-huh.
I can hear him swinging up there. Looks like he just stands down there and shakes it for a while just to make enough noise. So I got this old light here. Time or two, I've come in here and just shine it on him. He's a big possum. He's the biggest thing.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a bird. Oh, no.
Huge. And just as fat as he can be. And you know what he's doing? He's pulling that. See, I've got that wire up there. And he just pulls it up through there and chews it. And I put that light on him, and he just looked at me and kept on chewing it. And he just stood there, sat there in the light. Didn't care at all. Now,
good thing you haven't got any chickens.
How you? That's right.
Boy, I'm telling you, they get in our chicken pen, and we go around and around out there in Burma. They're hard to catch, too.
That's true.
To catch them. Yeah, we have to shoot them because they keep returning until they get their chicken. So if we don't get them, then they come back again, and they'll always strike at the same time every night.
Oh.
They will.
Every night.
And they don't care about you? They're not afraid of you?
Yes. They're the biggest thieves you ever saw. They'll grab a chicken, and they'll get it by her neck and let her squall, 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 squall. They won't kill her at first. They're too anxious to get that chicken and get out of there. So they don't care where they catch her, but they usually try to catch her around the neck. Well, like a chicken will yell, you know, you can hear her for miles. And if he misses that chicken, he just makes a squawk, and we hear him, and we make any noise that we're going out to the pen, you know, slam the door, or if he sees the light or something coming across the field. And it's quite a ways from the back door to the chicken pen. By the time Berman gets to the chicken pen, the possum has got out the hole he came in.
Yeah.
Or they'll wait until he goes in the gate. If the gate's left open, they'll wait until he comes in the gate, and he'll hide in the corner. And when Berman goes in the gate, he'll come out, you see.
Out of the gate?
So the first thing we check is the corners to catch the possum.
Yeah.
Because they'll stand there and wait until you get past that gate, and then they make a beeline and go. And you're looking around up here with a flashlight, see, and they're going right on high, and they're sly as a fox.
That's right.
But if that happened at 10 o'clock, the following night at 10 o'clock, they'll appear again. If they don't get caught the first time, you see, if Merman doesn't kill him, then at 10 o'clock, you can be sure he'll be back again for another chicken. Or the following night. If it's the big chicken and they got away with the chicken, or they got their fill, they won't be back until the following night, the second night.
Well, they, I used to think a possum was dumb and slow.
Well.
But these are fast and think fast.
They know they're going to be killed, I guess, if they... I don't know whether it's the noise of the chicken that excites them or what, but they get out of there.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, there's nothing modest about that big possum up on that feeding station chewing that tala. He looked at me and just chewed away, and he wasn't slow about it.
I'll bet he's been doing that some time, probably before you even called him.
Yeah.
Regular.
Yeah.
And a coon will do the same thing. Coons quicker than a possum.
Oh, yes. Well, I
they'll,
I thought it was a coon.
They'll get away. But there's something out there bothering our chickens now. We leave the gate open. We don't normally do it, and if I see it open, I'll shut it. But the kids, a lot of times, we go in there, feed them, and forget to shut the gate, and we let them get a little grass picking in the afternoon around the pen. So a lot of times, we'll forget to shut the gate. And something's been bothering them, because that black dog that came up straying in the yard, he'd get out there, and he'll bark, and he'll bark, and he'll bark, but nothing bothers the chickens as long as he's barking. So, but he gets on Berman's nerves. He says, if that dog don't hush, I'm going to get out there with a gun and shoot him. So I'll yell out there, the Blackie, shut up! And the dog will crawl off in the hole and won't bark.
Yeah.
So if anything comes now, they're going to get the chickens. You can't win for losing. If I want a husband that sleeps and not yelling his head off, I got to let the dog be quiet.
Charlotte, let me tell you.
Get a dog for protection, then you have to keep quiet.
Is, what's the name of that place down at the creek? Is that the only church they have at the creek down there at the, what's the place?
Billy Dyson's.
Dyson's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had a few down there for sunrise services Easter Sunday. Then they had services again in the morning,
yeah.
Church services. And then they had Easter egg hunt at the church. They had services again Sunday night.
At Billy Dyson.
But what gets me, they have something to do every night in the week. They have church on Thursday, they have church on Wednesday, they have church on Sunday, and have some place to meet every night, somewhere to go. Prayer services at so-and-so's house, or ball games going, or something. And
church ball game?
I don't know when they find time to do the work. Or maybe they don't, but we just can't make it. It's a drive for me to get there on Sunday mornings. It takes all my effort to get them to church on Sunday mornings here lately with all that's been happening.
That's one of the things I think you got to contend with when you become allied with the little churches. If you go once, they ask you why you didn't come the next time.
Yeah, and we don't like that. If we're not there, we're not there because we don't want to be. We're there because we can't be there. We're not there because we can't be there.
And then if you go twice,
they
want to
make a membership of you. And
they won't know why you didn't get there the third time.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's...
We've had our letter in every church in the community, I think. And that was in Bethel. And we swore when we moved up here, we'd belong to one church and that would be it.
Yeah.
Well, we went to Island Grove for a while. And the kids were dissatisfied over there. I was dissatisfied because the kids weren't learning a thing. They didn't have any Sunday school. It was all more older people. There was no young folks in the church, no
yeah.
children. And it wasn't fun for them. It was a battle for me to get them ready for church anymore. They didn't want to go. So I got them interested then in Macanopy Baptist Church. So we moved our letter over there.
Oh,
we joined
yeah.
over there. Uh-huh. And they were real interested in it there. And so then they were moving this branch out to Cross Creek. This is a branch of the Micanopy Church. This is a sister church, a mother church over there in Micanopy that's helped sponsoring this one at Cross Creek till they get on their feet. Well, I didn't like that. And I haven't... I'm going to leave that nickel there. I didn't like that because... I had different... I had feelings about the place. The people that have the church there in their homes weren't what you would call the ideal shepherds, you know. They'd go over to that bar room there and spend all day, all week and all night Saturday night and then come home and bury the beer cans in the backyard and have church Sunday morning. I don't go for that. And everybody knows it. So,
I'll never tell you. That's what you'd call a little crummy.
I don't know.
It seems to me like, you see, I haven't been there, but just walking through it, it seems like the creek now has become crummy. Is it a little crummy?
Well, I guess you'd call it that, because they're just not I don't know. There are people I just don't want
to
have very much to do with.
But it didn't used to be that back in the old days. It was.
There's still quite a few, you know, where to go to visit with them and talk with them, and people that come to see us that don't participate in any of those activities down there. But I, excuse me, Berman and I, neither one, have ever gone out for anything like this. They call us the squares across creek because we don't go down there and kick our heels up every Saturday night and have a drink with them. So,
yeah. You know, that's one of the dullest things in the world.
It's bad for your health.
I just have never seen any attraction in it. And you see people at such a disadvantage. They, you know, most people are interested in some way or other when they're, you know, working and healthy and all like that.
Uh-huh.
But once they start taking a drink,
Well, I think the biggest alcoholic down there is Mr. Weaver, the guy that owns that yearling there.
Yeah.
In Wheeler. He's, he's been hitting the bottle for quite some time, and it's catching up with him. And his wife had a series of heart attacks.
Oh, I see that. You never see Ms. Listen. She
down
don't take part down the creek.
No.
She's not like that.
No. She's not like that. between her and Mrs. Guthrie, I'd rather go over and visit Mrs. Guthrie, to be honest with you.
Oh, you mean just to visit? She's not. Have you visited Mrs. Guthrie?
Oh, yes.
Oh, have you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, she was over at the house here last week to see us. And she was over at Mrs. Guthrie's yesterday to visit with her. So I kind of expected her on the way home, you know, on the way back to stop at the house, but she didn't stop yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, how did she visit?
Well, I don't know. She's just a funny bird. I can't explain it to you.
She's around talking.
Yes, she's. I don't know. She's just funny. She's not a woman of her word, for one thing. She'll say one thing and do another. And she kind of likes to drag everybody through the mud. And I don't believe in doing that. I mean, if she doesn't care much for a person, why? You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does she get along with this
guy? All right, to her face. That's what I'm talking about. Then she'll come over and she'll say something different to me, and I don't like that. I just every time she gets on something like that, I'll change the subject so she gets on somebody else.
Well, let me tell you, Charlie, you can't stay over here on it, but it's such a refreshing. It's so refreshing to talk a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah
I got to do
boy,
the same.
It feels good to sit here.
I got to do the same thing you have. I got to start talking. I've got car trouble on top of it. Oh, you have too.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you what I did. I had my wheels aligned, and they were doing all right until they aligned them, and now they're shimmy.
Now they got to be balanced again, do they?
I don't know.
Well, that's what I was telling Faye this morning. Berman went in to get a tire too for the truck. He's running on a second ply. He said there's a big hole in one of the new tires on the truck. So it makes me nervous. I was hoping he'd call me, you know, before I left the house this morning to go to the barn, because he always calls the minute he gets to work. And he didn't call. And I thought, well, maybe he didn't. He went in and checked in to work and then left again. So I didn't want to call there and find out if he's not there, then he'd get him in trouble. So if he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Sometimes he will slip downtown for an emergency like this, like getting a wheel or something like that. But you can't explain it to anyone on the phone.
Yeah.
Still, I didn't want to call and get him in trouble. So I just hoped that he would call before I went to the barn. That was another reason I was a little bit late getting to the barn.
He still like it over there?
He loves it. He goes to work, and that's his vacation.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Charlie,
I'm working the man to death.
I don't think it's altogether a lot of work or no work. I think I pulled up over there one day, and the fire truck was there, right there in the building where I work. And I stood there and looked a minute while I said, hellfire, that's my classroom where I'm supposed to have a class. I told you about that. Well, sir, I got to thinking. I'd been wrestling out here. I just relaxed. I said, not a thing I have to do about this.
Somebody else's responsibility?
Yes. I go up there, and I don't have the responsibility. And I bet you I think that's one thing you
appreciate. That's it. He goes to work, and he knows that he's going to do his job. He takes his time doing it. If he has a job to do, if he can't do it, he'll get somebody else that can do it in there. He's not, but at least I told him, I said, you'll never die of a heart attack on your job. And 6 and 7 times a day, he calls me on the telephone. And I'm scared to death he's going to get in trouble by calling me so much. But if he has nothing to do, he can't stand it. So he'll go into that office, no one there. He gets bored. You know, if the guys are all off doing something or studying, there's a lot of them that meet him in there, and they chew the fat a while and read the newspaper and have a cup of coffee or a bouillon cube or something of that effect and really have a good time. Or play a hand of cards or something.
Club room.
But there's days then he has more work than he knows what to do with. So I won't hear from him but maybe 2-3 times. But the days that he doesn't have anything to do, it's raining or it's too cold or it's too hot, he'd be there in the office and have the longest conversation. I have the darndest time trying to figure out something to talk about. And here he is, my husband. I can't even find enough to keep him interested on the telephone. And a lot of times I make more excuses to get off of that phone.
Then he calls again.
Because I know what I'm doing, you know. And I think a lot of times I can hear that phone ringing from the barn, and it'll ring, and it'll ring, and it'll ring.
Give you time to get there, huh?
A lot of times I'll run, you know, try to get, because I'm always afraid that it's the schoolhouse calling. And so I try to run to get to the phone before it stops ringing.
Yeah.
Well, the only one I can make it on is him, because he'll let the phone ring and ring and ring and ring. So if it's a school, they'll hang up after the 4th ring, and I can't possibly make it from that barn to the house in time to catch the phone.
Four don't give you much time.
No, so if you ever want to get me, let the phone ring, ring.
Now, Ms. Guthrie was over there that morning. The vet was there when I pulled up, the time he did that autopsy.
Oh, yeah.
And she was just as frisky as she could be.
Well, whatever this thing is, I think she's, like the doctor said, I think she's probably had it for some time. It just hurts her at different times, you know, just more, gives her a rough time every now and then. She was in the hospital here about a year ago, and she claims now that this stay in the hospital didn't do her a bit of good, but she's taken all this medicine. She had her blood pressure was way high. From eating all that pork, I imagine.
Now, she likes pork.
So, you know, she loves her pork. And I think that's all her trouble. If she'd leave that meat alone, I think she'd be all right. I told her, and Marvin's told her, and he said he was literally going to take that hog off and turn him loose in the woods, and he wasn't going to butcher another hog, and he wasn't going to buy another piece of pork. It won't do any good, because she'll get in the car and go buy her some pork.
Sure.
It's her. She's got to know that.
And then she likes her. She likes a whole lot of it.
And the fat.
And 9 times out of 10, she has both pork and beef on the table.
Yeah.
And it's not well done. You know, pork's got to be very well done. And she doesn't cook it well enough.
You didn't mention it to
her? I've told her, but, you know, time or two kind of hinting around. I hate to come right out and tell her, well, you're eating raw meat. But I think that's the only thing that's going to cause her to really. But she's got a craving for that meat. It's just like an alcoholic for an alcoholic beverage. But she's.
You know, I think that's one of the potent things about the old days. Those things they had, they just loved. They loved pork. Especially the fat. And they didn't want it too done.
What are these worms you get from pork meat?
Chickenosis.
Yeah, I said. I'll bet you a nickel that she is eat up with those worms. I'll bet that's her trouble.
Nobody ever said.
Because you can get that very easy from eating pork that's not well done.
Yeah.
Boy, when Berman wants a piece of pork, all right. If we cook anything, it's as black as a shoe. That's the way he wants it. You know, just he wants it burnt.
He don't want to take chances.
No, sir. He wants it burnt. And if I don't get it burnt, it's very close to it. Because I
can really get it.
I can't.
Well, now, do they still butcher hogs?
Well, they had been about every year. Now, this past year, they didn't get around to it. They got them a pig. They've been fattening him here for the last few months, and I think they're planning on butchering that, or she is. So.
But Marvin.
Marvin has no say there. They'll butcher the hog, and she'll eat it.
Well,
Marvin
will
eat the lean, and she'll eat the fat.
Now, when she called the hospital over to her house, she had whelps on her back. Didn't
Mm-hmm. And I still think that was from the allergy to pork. But I'm not a doctor, and he told her it might have been to the allergy from that shot that she had, which we thought too before he called the doctor. But and her blood pressure was very, very high. She was nervous. She was seeing double even because of her blood pressure.
Well, that time when she called the doctor, over to your house.
Well, she didn't find out about her blood pressure until she went into the hospital,
yeah.
And that was a week ago Sunday. She came home Saturday. So.
She came home Saturday, so she'd been there a week.
Almost a week. See, she went in late on Sunday, and then she came home Saturday afternoon.
She's there a whole week.
And then Easter Sunday, I sent over their Easter dinner, but I haven't seen her, or I talked to her on the phone yesterday, and she called me.
Yeah.
And I think she wanted me to go over then. I had no car to go anywhere, so I couldn't get over there to see her. And
she has
in
a
the
relative.
Evening, when Berman comes in, it's just too much going on. I just can't get away. But she has an aunt, or a great aunt, or something. I don't know who she is. She calls her Aunt Nora, I think. That's visiting with her. She just came in now last night, or this morning.
Aunt Nora raised her. She lived with Aunt Nora when she married. That's one reason she married so young, to get rid of Aunt Nora.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just telling you what I've heard her say, you know.
So she's
staying with her while she's...
I told her, I said, you should have somebody. I said, suppose you have Marvin bring you over here. I said, I can't make it over there. I have no car. And I said, I have things I got to do. I said, so you come on over here, and I'll fix you a place, you know, where you can lay down. And I won't bother you. I'll let you rest, and I'll do my work. And I said, this way you will have some, you know, have company, and you'll feel better. And she said, well... I don't know. She said, I best better stay here. And Marvin will expect me to stay here. And I can tell she just didn't want to come over.
Well, is she up?
She's up and she gets around now, but she's very weak, she said. And she's still seeing double, so evidently her blood pressure's still high.
And she's not cussing so much.
And I bet you she came right home from the hospital and had the biggest platter full of pork you ever saw. And I know they told her not to eat it. So I don't know. I think it's...
You know, Tuck Mack was like that. They told him years ago if he didn't stop drinking and smoking, he'd die. Well, he said he's going to die anyhow. He kept right on drinking and smoking. He didn't drink much. What do you think he drank? He smoked all the time. And he's still kicking. Under some circumstances, you're just not worth fooling her, I guess.
Well, did you know Mr. Crosby there at the creek? Sam Crosby?
No.
He passed away Wednesday. He was at the house Easter Sunday. He and his wife and little girl came up there, and they weren't going anywhere, and we were busy, and we couldn't go anywhere, and two or three of them didn't feel good. Bonnie didn't even want to get out of bed Easter Sunday. So,
oh.
And everything we'd planned got, you know, went haywire. So I said, well, Mrs. Sarah called and wanted to know if she could come over and visit with Bonnie. I said, sure, come right ahead. So her mama brought her and her daddy over. And it was the first time I'd seen him in about 6 months. And the last time I saw him, he was tall, straight, a nice-looking fella. Very nice-looking fella. And he didn't look a day over 45. And when they drove up in that driveway, I had the shock of my life. He had been in an accident here about a year and a half ago. Well, I knew this, but I didn't know that since November he's had 4 major operations. Because of the accident that happened, it injured his stomach, and then a malignant cancer started. And they operated to remove this, and then they took out, the second operation they took out his esophagus and put in a plastic tube there. The third operation I never did find out what was for, but the fourth one was on his leg, his right leg from his knee to his foot. He had to wear a heavy brace because of the muscles collapsing in that foot, and he couldn't walk with it. So they put this brace on there, and it helped him to move his foot. So that was his fourth operation. Well, when they came up into that yard, he couldn't get out. He was too weak, and she was going to take him for a short ride around and come back and pick up Sarah Jane. See, I took care of Sarah for, I guess, about 2 years. I had her at the house now and then while her mother worked when we first moved there. So she went off with him, took a ride with him, and I went in and told Berman, I said, honey, did you see Mr. Crosby lately? And he said, I saw him at the hospital here about 6 months ago. I said, well, you ought to see him now. He looks real bad. And I said, he looks like death warmed over itself. I said, oh, he looks so bad. So when they came back, he went out to the car, and Vernon was feeling bad. He didn't feel good. So he went out to the car then and talked to Mr. Crosby a few minutes. Then they took Sarah and went on home. And I told him, going back into the house, I said, gee, I said, I hope so, but I said, I don't think that man will be here next Sunday. And I got a call Wednesday from Faye that he had passed away at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, now, what kin is he to the Crosby who's over at Island Grove?
He's their brother.
I see. Who does the grove? Used to do a lot of grove work.
Uh-huh. Chet Crosby.
Chet, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's his brother.
That's his brother. And then he has another brother. I can't think of his first name, but he lives in the Mobile Homes trailer estate there.
Yeah.
That's where he lived. But that man, it said in the paper he was 60 years old, and he didn't look 45 when I saw him here 6 months ago. And when I saw him in the yard there, he looked to me about 80 or 85 years old.
Yeah.
I had never seen such a change in a person in all my life. I wouldn't have known him if it hadn't been for Mrs. Crosby and Sarah being with him.
Now, he's the one you've got to
cook. Get my shoes on, Jay, and I'll pick.
He's the one you got to cook on.
Yeah.
Cook for.
Yeah. I'm gonna fix something for him. Today's the funeral, and won't be. You know, she won't have a chance to fix for all that bunch over there.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know where they're going to be at. I have to find that out. Whether they be at her place or over there at the brother's place. But I thought I'd fix something up and have Berman take it over when he. Yes, then. Well, this afternoon.
Have you got something fixed for Berman's lunch?
I'll fix him a sandwich.
Well, I was thinking about it. I had a slice of ham. I mean, I had a ham.
Oh, this is around 800 or 850, and the end of Channel 1 right. I'm changing it before it gets to the end so we can go back and sit down and talk a little more in case we want to, but we didn't. We didn't talk very much more. Shelley had to get back. This Friday morning, the 16th of April, 1971, the end of Channel 1 right, the end of Channel 1 right, the end of Channel 2222222 right, the end of Channel 2 right, and a continuation of the visit with Shirley this Friday morning, the 16th of April, 1971.